1 Peter chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 11, read down to verse 17. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, we're going to approach this, because we're in America, we're going to approach it from an American position or American direction. Okay, so we have, in America, we have a representative republic. Sometimes it's hard to believe they actually represent us, but that's what they're supposed to. We have a representative republic. Now, you can't do everything I'm saying does not apply directly to every believer in every country. I think the principles have to be would apply, but maybe the application, the direct application, would not. You cannot go to communist China and say, well, you know, we have our freedoms. No, you do not. You're in communist China. You're a property of the state. Those who are rooting and supporting and desiring socialism, you do not understand the end part of socialism. Socialism isn't that you get to live at home and the government pays all your bills and everything's like nirvana and there's no problems. Socialism is the first step to communism, and communism makes you the slave of the government. And, you know, just history shows that. Even current events show that. Ask the people in Hong Kong, do you want communist China running your country? They've already told us. They're very clear. They do not want communist China running the country, but they really have no say in that, because they're owned by communist China. So we're going to look at this, and I'm saying up front that it has an American flavor to it, because we're Americans. We live in America, and the reason I say that, if you go back to our text where he says in verse 14. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme. Now, we don't have a king here, do we? We have some people who want to be king, but we don't have a king here. But we do have a supreme law. It's called the Constitution. And so our king, if you will, speaking in a physical sense, not a spiritual sense, we do have a king, and the king is our Constitution. That is our political allegiance, our allegiance as American citizens is to the Constitution. Now, we hope that our politicians will follow it, but that doesn't always seem to be the case. There seems to be some questions about that and the way they interpret it. And we have the system of government that we have, and it's not exactly the best. I think it's the best that's available, but it's not the best. The best would be when Jesus Christ sits upon the throne and he rules and reigns. That's the best. But I think of all the things out there, all the types of government, that I think that what we have is the best of those, but it's not perfect by far, but we are thankful for what we have. Now, let me get into the study. That's all my trying to cross some T's and dot some I's. Okay, so let me get right into the study. I'm going to start with the three most common, often made statements that I give about politics. Number one is this, I just mentioned a moment ago, this is probably the number one thing I say. We are not going to vote America back to God. Just we need to understand that. I'm all for elections, I'm all for voting, I'm all for knowing the issues, but if you think somehow there's an answer for America in the elections, you're wrong. The answer for America is in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who sits in the White House. If our nation as a majority is moving away from God, God is not going to bless America. We're going to be under his chastening. And so elections have consequences, but typically those consequences are negative, not positive. And so we're not going to vote America back to God. Elections and political parties are not the answer. They serve a function. I'm glad we have elections. I'm glad to whatever extent they're free that we have them. But they're not the answer for what ails America. Jesus is the answer. So that's my first often said statement. Second most often said statement is this. Every American, especially believers, ought to vote in every election. I think we ought to vote. You say, well, it won't matter. Well, if you don't vote, it guarantees doesn't matter. If you do vote, I don't know. But I think it's right to do. I think it's a responsibility. I think as a U.S. citizen, we ought to vote every time. And not everyone has an opportunity. We mentioned about China and other countries. Not everyone has that opportunity. We ought to take advantage of it and exercise that that freedom, that opportunity, even that responsibility we have. Here's my third statement, and it says, I always say this kind of tongue-in-cheek. Maybe no one's told you this, but did you know, because people say, well, how do I know who's telling the truth? There is a guaranteed way to tell whether a politician is lying. There is a guaranteed way. You say, what is that? Are their lips moving? Yes, they're lying to you, okay? That's just a guaranteed way to tell you that they're lying. So anyways, that's my third statement. How can you tell a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Now, let me give you full disclosure, because I don't want you going through the Bible study thinking, what is he trying to say? Where is he coming from? What's his position? So I'll tell you up front where I'm at in this, so you're not wondering and questioning and scratching your head, and you can pay attention to the other things. Okay, I just turned 55. I have followed politics rather closely and almost daily reading about it. That's what I mean by closely. I have followed politics closely since 1980, actually prior to 1980. I was very much eager in 1980 to see Ronald Reagan elected. I was pushing my mom to vote. I was only 16 in 1980. But I was pushing my mom, pushing others, you need to vote. And they had their different comments and thoughts. And I don't really know who my mom voted for. I don't know if she voted, but she never told me whether she voted or who she voted for. But I was very supportive going into 1980. So 1979, I guess, is really when I started getting involved under President Jimmy Carter in the Iranian embassy, the hostages there, and that was the catalyst. And so I've read, I've tried to listen, I've tried to be knowledgeable about politics my entire adult life. Now I am, again, full disclosure, I am a staunch conservative. Typically, I vote Republican almost, especially for president. I've always voted Republican for president. Sometimes you hold your nose and vote, but I voted Republican. I've not voted Republican in everything I've ever voted, but the big ones, like the president, I have voted Republican. I'm a staunch conservative. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. The home for conservatives in our day and time, I think, is the Republican Party. They're not all conservative, and even a lot of conservatives are not conservatives, but I am a staunch conservative, okay, in my political views, my views about life. Now, I do not believe that either political party is the answer. Neither do I believe that they're the same. I don't say, well, you know, they're the same. They are not the same. There is a difference between the two, and I see some difference here. Now, when we think about our loyalty as believers, our loyalty should not be to a political party. Our loyalty should be to Christ. He's the only one who gets our loyalty. I'm not loyal to the Republican Party. I'm not loyal to any Libertarian Party or Democrat Party or any other. I am loyal to Christ. That's my desire, to be loyal to Him. Now, I think as believers, we should know the issues, and we should vote and support based on biblical principles, not pocketbook, the Bible. We should not vote what gets us a better job or who's... Okay, the guy who promises to pay all your debts, give you free this and free that and free this and free that, doesn't mean that's the guy you ought to vote for. You ought to vote for the guy who's most in line with Scripture, with biblical principles. That's how we ought to vote. That should be our driving of thoughts when we're thinking about voting. Now, this is still full disclosure. I think government as a whole... Because I'm trying to understand, do you understand where I'm coming from? Because I'm going to give you three big points here. I think government as a whole should provide for the general welfare of the people of the country. And while they're doing that, they should be the least involved in our lives as possible. We do not need a nanny. Okay, our government is not supposed to be the nanny watching over us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I am, because of all of this, because how I see the Bible and understand the Bible and how I look at the world and how what I think our government is supposed to be and how our Constitution is written, I am for a strong military, because I don't want any other country messing with us. I am for border security because I think that people who come in our country, we should know who they are and why they're coming in our country, because they may be trying to fly more planes and more buildings. So I'm for a border security, and I'm opposed, absolutely opposed to abortion, and I'm opposed as much as I can be to taxes. Now, I think you ought to pay every tax that you owe, but I'm not forever owing more taxes than I have to. Let me just say one more thing about this. I believe this. I believe our government has more money than it knows what to do with. I don't think the answer for America is taking more of our money. If our country only did what it should do, it would not need half the money it's spending. And the reason it's spending so much money is doing things it doesn't supposed to be doing, constitutionally or biblically. And so I'm all for cutting off the funding as much as we can. And my answer is this. And by the way, that's federal, state, and local. Just do what you're supposed to do, and you'll have all the money you need to have. You don't need to keep taking money from us. And so I oppose the idea of taxes because that allows them to do things more than really they need to do. And I'm absolutely opposed to abortion. And they say, well, you know, it's the choice of the woman. I agree. The woman has a choice. She can kill her baby or let the baby live. That is right. That is a choice of the woman. But that doesn't, just because it's her choice, doesn't make that whatever choice she is okay. There's only one choice, really, and that is life. And so I'm absolutely opposed to abortion. Now, nevertheless, this now gets us away from the full disclosure. Nevertheless, our views, our personal views, cannot be simply parroting someone else. We can't simply watch a certain network, listen to certain people on the radio, read certain books, and then just parrot the things that we've heard. We have to go back to the Bible and say, well, what does the Bible say? I have people that I listen to, I have some respect for, but they're not going to be the basis of how I look at things. The Bible needs to be the basis of it. So our personal views cannot be parroting someone else's views. Our views need to be formed from and rooted in the Bible. Now, this applies to political views. It applies to every view you have, economic views, religious views, social views, whatever the view is. It needs moral views. They need to go back to the Word of God. So how can we look at the Word of God tonight in the brief time that we have and develop some ideas about what we're supposed to be as believers in this idea of dealing with the politics, because there is a responsibility here as Americans and as believers, how do we do this? So I'm going to give you three thoughts to help us with. And again, they're very general thoughts, but at least they get us, I think, going in a good, right direction. So go back with me to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And look with me in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Then go down to verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king and supreme, or unto governors, and unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Now he's actually saying two different things here. One, he's saying, you're strangers and pilgrims. You're not citizens of this place here. Then he says, but these are your leaders, so yeah, you really are kind of citizens here too. So here's our first understanding. Number one is this. Believers have both an earthly citizenship and a heavenly citizenship. I have a citizenship in heaven because I'm a born-again believer in Christ. I have an earthly citizenship in the United States of America because I was born here October 2nd, 1964, right over here in Warren, Ohio, St. Joseph Riverside Hospital. So I have an American citizenship. I have a heavenly citizenship. I have both of those, and I have responsibilities in both areas. So both citizenships play a role in our earthly responsibilities. But watch, our heavenly citizenship will always take priority. Am I a citizenship of the U.S.? Yes. But when my citizenship of America in America and my citizenship in heaven, when there is any conflict, it's an easy answer. Forget about my citizenship in America. My citizenship in heaven always takes priority. It always takes priority. What does that mean? Well, our heavenly citizenship requires us to put God's word above man's laws. People say, well, what are you going to do, Pastor White, when the government mandates that you perform gay marriage? Well, number one, they can't. Okay? The government can't mandate you do anything. You're a free individual. Now, you can succumb to their pressure You can follow their law, but they can't mandate it beyond because you have you're a creature of free will. And so my answer number one is I'm not going to under any situation. Okay? And you say, well, but you're an American citizen, but I'm a heaven citizen as well. And God's law trumps man's law. It doesn't matter what man's law is. Once it violates God's law always takes priority. Now, in case you're wondering, you say, well, you know, there was a day when everyone respected the Bible and everyone let you live the Bible, but now in 2019, now there's a problem. Can I tell you, there's always been a problem. Okay, the man, Caesar, has always fought against Jesus because Caesar always wants control of everything. But Jesus doesn't succumb or compromise or surrender that. Hold your place in First Peter. Go with me to the book of Acts. Our forefathers back here in the Bible, spiritually speaking, our spiritual forefathers, faced the same thing from the Jews. Acts chapter 5, look with me in verse 27. They didn't like these believers and spreading the gospel and people getting saved. And really the consequence of the gospel message was the Jewish leaders had worked together to crucify their Messiah, and they did not like people thinking that. So they began telling the apostles, shut up, quit it, don't be doing it. And the apostles said, basically, it's in the Greek, you got to see it there. Acts chapter 5, look with me in verse 27. And when they had brought them, these be the apostles, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, this is a great response. We ought to obey God rather than men. It's very simple. Doesn't matter what you said. Here's what God said. And once when God speaks, it doesn't matter after that what anyone else says. God's word is very clear about this. This is what we're going to do. So our heavenly citizenship always requires us to put God's law first, God's word first. He always gets priority over these things. But there's more to that, and that is this. Our heavenly citizenship also requires us to be good earthly citizens. The best citizens in America ought to be born-again believers. We ought to be the best citizens that our country has. Not because we are trying just to be good people, but because we're trying to honor the Lord in all things. Let me show you another place. Go with me to Romans 13. Romans 13. Now, if you get caught up in political things, my guess is at times you get aggravated. And aggravated might be a kind word. You get frustrated. But we can't get so aggravated and frustrated that we forget our responsibility as believers. And we have a responsibility as believers in this country. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power. And the word power, that means authority, these earthly authorities over us. There's no power, no authority, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, it does not mean that everyone who holds an office, that's the guy God wants there. What it means is those positions of authority is what God wants. God is not for anarchy. God is not for everyone in the country does anything they want and no one tells anything. You can't, that's total anarchy. You can't have anarchy. God is saying, I've set up in the civil society, I've set up authority over you and you need to acknowledge that and follow that. Now, not if it conflicts with God. But most likely, some of the things that we get frustrated with, it doesn't conflict with God. God, okay, I hate to tell you this, God's law really doesn't dictate how fast you drive down the road. Other than, don't speed, okay? But you can't say, well, why are we only doing 35? There's no houses around here. I'm doing 55. And then you get a ticket and say, let me tell you this, I serve a risen Savior. I don't need to listen. Okay, that is not going to cut it. Jesus isn't going to let you slide because you go 20 miles over the speed limit because you didn't agree with what the law was. Okay? So there are certain areas we have to submit to our earthly authority. As believers, this is required of us. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation or a judgment on them. For rulers, this is now what it's supposed to be now, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's the way God has set it up. Doesn't always work that way because sinful men in positions of authority do sinful things, unfortunately. But God intended for us to have good men in positions of authority doing good things. That's what the Lord would want. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt praise of the same. For he is the minister of God, the servant of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. They're set up there to help good people do good, and when people do bad, to deal with them. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, this idea that judgment would come upon you, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. That would mean whatever taxes that we're forced to pay. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, there's a lot we can say about this, but when we get frustrated with people that we don't agree with or support politically, we still got to be careful how we refer to them, talk about them, and react to them. I did not vote, and this probably doesn't surprise you, I did not vote for Mr. Obama. But Mr. Obama is the President of the United States. We should be careful how we talk about him and refer to him. You say, well, I think he's blah, blah. Okay, that may be your view, but as a believer, if I'm not careful, I can needlessly lose opportunities to share the gospel because I'm getting in some political harangue about someone I don't agree with. He was the president. He deserves a certain modicum of respect for that. Doesn't mean I have to vote for him. Doesn't mean I have to like him. Doesn't mean I have to agree with him. But I should be careful how I honor, how I show certain respect and deference towards the position he held. So you be careful how we refer to him, how we talk about him. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with him, but it does mean that we should not just go off on harangues that hurt our testimony that way. Now, let me continue on and finish this. Funny how I get caught up in things here. Unless there is a clear, direct violation of Scripture, we as believers need to submit to civil laws and government taxes. That's what we're required to do. I think also that's the idea that we should vote, we should be involved, we should know the issues, because we want to be good citizens. As Americans, okay, as a U.S. citizen, we have the freedom to exercise certain rights. For example, we have a right to vote. We have a right to petition our leaders. And we have a right to protest. There's nothing wrong with, protesting against things. I'm talking about, obviously, a peaceful protest. I'm not talking about throwing rocks through windows and burning cars and things. But there's nothing, you'll see sometimes Christians protesting or picketing or at least holding signs up in front of abortion clinics. That's great. We have the freedom to do that. Nothing wrong with that. We can go to places where our representatives are holding town meetings, and we can voice our displeasure, our disagreement, and our threatening of, I'll never vote for you again if you keep on doing this, you politician, you. And so we can that's all fine. It's all within what we're allowed to do as American citizens. But once a law is passed, if it does not violate Scripture, then we're bound to go by it because this is what's put on us. And we can say, well, it's not constitutional. Well, if it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court rules it's constitutional, then therefore, by the way our government is set up, it now is constitutional. So we are bound to keep the laws. We're bound to pay the taxes because this is what the Lord has put upon us, that we're supposed to submit to these things. Now, as Americans, again, we can protest, we can petition, we can vote, we can try to change the laws, we can try to change the taxes, and thank God that we have those opportunities. But ultimately, when things are what they are, then we have to submit until they're changed, because that's what we're required to do as being good citizens and being good believers. So let me just say one more thing and get to the next point. We have to be careful as believers that we don't get so caught up politically that we start rejecting things like laws and taxes. Well, I just don't agree with that law. I'm not going to give them a penny of my money. And sometimes it's not biblical base. It's out of your pride and out of your greed. You're using the Bible as your excuse. And so we got to be careful that we're not being rebellious just for the sake of being rebellious. We want to be both a good earthly citizen and a good heavenly citizen. And we don't want our some foolishness in politics to hurt our ability to be a witness to unbelievers. Now, we're not going to compromise, but we don't want to also needlessly fuss that we're not supposed to. So believers have both an earthly citizenship and a heavenly citizenship. We have to honor both of those. Heavenly citizenship always gets a priority. That's big number one. So I'm thinking about politics. I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to be as a believer in this country, dealing with politics, dealing with voting, dealing with in that big area. I have to submit, but I never violate Scripture. I never compromise. Number two. Let's go back now to our text. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 12. Having your conversation, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may, where they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, I'm going to apply this based on how we're supposed to live, but also how then that should then flow into our a political mindset. So big number two is this. Your lifestyle, and I think thus your political views, should be in support of biblical positions of morality. Now, if your lifestyle isn't what it should be, and all you're doing is fussing because the government isn't what it should be, maybe you should start with your own life first, okay? Because that you can really do something about. So our lifestyle and our political positions, political views, should both support what the Bible says about a moral lifestyle. We should want both to be in agreement. Because I'm trying to have a moral lifestyle, then that should overflow then into all the other areas of my life, like my political views, and therefore I'm voting based on these biblical positions of morality. Now, typically, political elections are not based on religious positions. I mean, politicians aren't running the country or across the city even saying, vote for me and I'll make every person be a soul winner. You can't really do that, can you? Vote for me and everyone has to go to a Baptist church. Okay, that's not what elections are about. You say, well, how do I vote? Because, I mean, the things we're talking about, how does that, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like they're outwardly just condemning the Bible. It's not like they, even there's a specific Bible thing that applies. It's not like they're, you know, running the, well, give them time. But anyways, they're not, at least at this moment in time, they're not running around the country saying, let's get rid of prayer, let's get rid of churches. You know, it's much more innocuous or it's hard to pin down. We definitely have a form of democracy. It's a representative republic, but it's a form of democracy. We do not have a theocracy. So typically, political elections are not based on religious positions. So how do we now take these biblical positions of morality and apply it in a election or a political view or whatever it may be? Well, that means this. Therefore, we must judge the political positions in regard to our overall biblical position. Here's where I stand biblically. So this is what I believe biblically, how we're supposed to live. And what you're telling me, what you want to do, if it doesn't fit this, then I'm against it because it doesn't fit my biblical position. So let me give you one more way, and then we'll try to apply it a little bit more directly. Those who try to restrict or deny our biblical position should be opposed. I have a biblical position. It's called life. God gives life, and only God can take away life. He has set up in the Bible the opportunity for life to be taken via capital punishment, and he has set it up via military battles. Both of those God has allowed and in some cases ordained for certain things to be happen. He never set up life to be taken because it's inconvenient for your checkbook. It doesn't fit your lifestyle. So what happens when a woman gets pregnant and she's not ready to have a baby? No. Why are you, I'm going to say this carefully, why are you doing the things that would bring about a pregnancy if you're not ready to have a pregnancy? That's really the question. We don't want to deal really with the elephant. The elephant is we want a society where everyone can jump in bed with everyone else, have all of this going on, and then when things happen that are inconvenient, well, let's kill the baby. No, how about changing our lifestyle? That might be a better answer. And so, those who try to restrict or deny our biblical positions should be opposed. Now, let me give you a couple examples. And I try to do this in some way to provoke you or to make you think, and maybe even make you angry in a nice way. But make us think a little bit, okay? Little on the edge, so you're not just sitting there just nodding and trying to fight to sleep. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I am not looking for our government to outlaw homosexuality. That genie is out of the bottle. That cat is out of the bag. It's not going to happen. Whatever you think about it, it isn't going to happen. Okay, you can be absolutely opposed to it. The government is never going to go that. We've gone way past that. But I do want, when I think about my political views, when I think about how I'm going to vote, I do want the government to quit forcing believers to accept the homosexual lifestyle. Quit jamming it down our throat. Quit making everything about LGBTQT, XYZ, whatever the letters are. Quit making everything that I do, are you being prejudiced? Actually, I am. I believe homosexuality is a sin. I believe it's a choice. I don't believe you're born that way. I believe it's a choice. Well, you're not born that way in that you're not forced. I mean, if you use the idea of being born that way, that's an excuse for every single sin that's ever committed, okay? Because everyone's born a sinner. But you have a choice. You don't have to give in. I mean, there are times, most of us would say there are times when I want to kill someone. Well, why didn't you? Because I didn't give in to the urge. I walked away and said, don't do that. That's wrong to do. And so there are certain choices we get to make. So I completely believe that homosexuality is a sin. It's a violation of Scripture. It's completely wrong. And I want the government to quit jamming it down my throat and try and force me to accept it. Now, I know they're not going to pass a law that says it's wrong, but you don't have to pass every law saying, like it, like it, like it, like it, like it. Just leave me. And so I'm going to support all those who are trying to keep that from happening. That's an example of what I mean, okay? Those who are trying to restrict or deny my position. Now, if that did not tweak you, this one will. Because let me tell you, when you go into that voting booth to vote as a believer, it would be nice if one of them was like independent fundamental Baptist, loves Jesus, soul winning, goes to church. He's like, well, that's the guy I'm voting for. Some of the guys you don't even know. You can study and study and study, and you're like, I still don't know what this guy is. And sometimes you listen, you're like, you say all the right things, but I just don't really believe you mean what you're saying. I think you want me to believe it. I think you want me to go along with you, but I don't really think. I think as soon as you get in power, in office, you'll just do whatever you're going to do. So I'll give you this. I'm going to give you this graphic. This is how I mentally process it. And you can, however you mentally process, I'm just going to show you how. When I'm looking at Scripture and I'm trying to mentally process this, okay, about choosing overall from my biblical position, here's what I do. And this may surprise you. It may offend you. I don't know. Here's how I look at it. I like little cross graphs like this. I have four options. No matter who they are, they're going to fit either option 1, 2, 3, or 4. From best to second best to third best to worst. Every person is going to fit somehow in this. The best person for me to vote for is a person whose moral in appearance, behavior, best I know. These aren't people I grew up with, and we don't go out to Panera Bread or Dunkin' Donuts. So I don't know them personally. So it's by appearance. It's about the things I read, the things they say. So moral person with a moral position, that's the guy I want to vote for. That's the best choice there is to vote for. Notice it has nothing to do with Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, there's a Reform Party, whatever party it is. Party right here doesn't matter. What matters is who they are. A moral person with a moral position is going to get my vote. That's the guy I'm going to vote for, or lady, based on who they are. That's the person I'm going to vote for. Can I tell you, I've not found many of those people. I think there's some who trended that way, maybe because I was young, maybe that's why my memory serves me this way, but I think Ronald Reagan would tend towards I don't think he was there, I don't think he was the second coming of Christ or something, but he seemed to be a morally decent guy, and I think his positions were rather moral. I'm not saying he was perfect or anything, but I think he trended that way. Most of the time, these are my two choices, second and third best. Now, this, you know, this at this point, I'm like puking on the in the ballot box, because why would I ever want to do that? Now, I'm gonna just tell you how I feel about it. I voted for Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is under second best. He's an immoral guy, has a moral position. If you think Mr. Trump is moral, your moral compass is off. He is an immoral guy. I think he loves America. I think he's made some good choices. I think he supports the same similar positions I have. He is morally, he's got some issues, major issues. Okay? They said, well, why did you vote for him? Because the person running against him was right here. Nope, sorry, probably right here. Probably right here. At best, they were right there. At best, they were here. At worst, they were there. Because I'm going to tell you how I feel. If you're going to sit there and tell me that you have no problem with the murdering of babies, why would I ever vote for you? You do not respect life. You do not respect God who gave that life. If you're willing, again, I got to be careful the way I say things. If you're willing to end the life of a child who's in a mother's womb, what would you not be willing to do? And where would you draw the line? Because to me, that's an easy line to draw. And so, typically, when I go into a voting booth in federal elections, state elections, local elections is somewhat different. But especially federal and state elections, usually I'm choosing between these two. I would love to have this person. I seldom find them. But if I would much rather have someone who's immoral, who supports the right positions, than someone who looks good but has all the... This is a Jimmy Carter right here. Here's Jimmy Carter. I think Jimmy Carter is a very moral guy. I think his positions are... Well, he you saw... Before, well, if you weren't alive, read a good history book, you'll find his positions were just stupid. And that's being gracious towards him. I know, so it's an honor to whom honors due. Our former president had bad positions. Okay. So that's a way we're talking about. I'm trying to let the Bible dictate how I choose things. It has nothing to do with... there's nothing about economics here. There's nothing about a lot of things that we fuss about. I'm looking for someone who stands for the Word of God, who's supporting the things that the Bible supports, life and liberty and things like that. Those all come from Scripture. All right, number three. Let me give you the third big overarching now a way of looking at this. That brings us back to chapter 2, verse number 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Notice that you have the freedom, but be careful how you use it. But as the servants of God, that's our freedom. Our freedom is to be the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So that brings us to big number three, and that is this. So I'm just telling you, this is an overarching. So the first overarching is I have a heavenly citizenship that controls how I'm involved. I'm looking for biblical positions of morality. And then here's the big number three. We should value freedom and liberty over safety and security. Because freedom allows me to be the servant of God. Someone showed this to me years and years ago, and it has really helped me in understanding about my relationship to government. I'll give you one more graphic, and that is this. We choose between freedom and security, and they're at opposite ends. And you have to choose on where on this line you're going to live. If you want a government that gives you complete security, then you have to give up all your freedom. If you want complete freedom, then you're going to have no security. Well, I think either end is probably not a good choice, because complete freedom is almost anarchy, and I'm not for anarchy. But I do believe I try to trend as close to freedom as I can. So maybe over in here somewhere, the government has a role. I mean, I'm glad there's police. I'm glad there's military. The government has some role. I'm glad there's some control about what comes in and what goes out of our country and such. There's a court system. There's certain things I'm glad the government does, but I'm much more trending towards freedom than I am security. So government security comes at the price governmental security comes at the price of personal freedom. The more security you want from the government, the more freedom you have to give up. And I don't want to give up freedom. Why is that? Well, the loss of personal freedom includes a loss of religious freedom. The government security means I have to surrender some of my freedom, including my religious freedom, and I want to be a servant of God, not a servant of the government. I don't want, the government doesn't own me. Jesus owns me. I don't need a nanny state. I trust the Lord. You know, I don't need a government that, here's what I mean. Why is the government dictating to us whether we wear seatbelts or not? It's not the government's job to look in my car and see if I have a seatbelt on. If you want to drive foolishly, run into things and go flying out your windshield because you didn't put a seatbelt on, okay, you're kind of stupid, but you know, I think we ought to have certain freedoms. I don't think our government needs to dictate to us every little aspect of life. Let people live. I'm going to say this nicely. Sometimes nature takes care of the ones who can't figure things out. So anyways, let people live. Let us enjoy our freedom. I don't need the government nanny state to give me security. Okay, I trust the Lord in my security and my safety. Now, the loss of religious freedom, this is why it's serious, the loss of religious freedom means that we're not going to serve God according to the dictates of Scripture and the dictates of our conscience, because the government is not giving us that freedom because it wants to secure us. It wants to keep everyone happy. Don't offend anyone. Don't preach that because that person will be offended. Hey, don't do that because that person. And pretty soon all we are autotrons serving the government, which is basically communism. And that's not what we want. We want freedom. That's what is given to us by the Lord. That was what was supposed to be protected by our Constitution. That's what we want. We want freedom. So the loss of personal freedom would include religious freedom. Now, the government should protect us from certain things, like foreign invasion. That's great. It's a great job for them. Criminal behavior, yes, I'm glad there's police. But mostly we need to have freedom so that we can live as we choose. Where we want, how we want, so forth and so on. We don't need a nanny state. The government, let me say one more thing and then we'll get into the end of it. The government should not seek to, now I want you to listen to this part carefully. The government's role is not to protect us from being offended. Okay? Certain things do offend me. I would be offended if you had a big, let's say you had a big Muslim parade down Center Ridge. Hundreds of people. Now, I'm not a Muslim. I'm opposed to the Muslim religion because it's sending people to hell. I would be offended, I guess, in air quotes, because that's not what I'm a part of. But I believe they should have the right to do that within, you know, all the things they're supposed to do and all the permissions they're supposed to get and all the permits and all that. They have the freedom to do that. The government isn't there to keep me from being offended. Now, it's to protect me that they don't come and, you know, gang up me and beat my brains out. They need to protect me, but they're not to keep me from being offended. Okay, and it's not the government's job to keep me from making bad choices. You know, if you make bad choices, and from your choices you end up in, okay, I'm not trying to be unkind, but let me just tell you, if your bad choices lead you to poverty, it's not the government's job to pay your bills. You know what changes bad choices? An empty stomach. You get hungry enough, you'll say, you know what, why am I living like this? Well, in today's society where I'm living this way because the government sends me a check every month, and why not live this way? But if the government is not feeding me and not clothing me and not giving me a house, if I actually have to go out and get a job and work hard, if I have to show up and be sober, I have to show up every day sober on time, that means I can't be living the party drug lifestyle. That may change some people's behavior, because without it, I don't have a place to live. I don't have clothes. I don't have food. It's not the government's job to protect me from being offended. It's not the government's job to help me to live in spite of my bad choices. Let consequences come into a society so people learn what not to do as far as violating God's word. So that's what I'm talking about. We value freedom and liberty over safety and security. Now, let me give you a couple final thoughts. These three basic understandings of political activism how we as believers are interacting with our government. Okay, these three basic understandings should help us formulate our views, formulate our stance as we deal with the country around us, because you're going to. People talk about it. We have elections. Elections have consequences. We need to know what to do. Now, with that said, though, I want you to understand this. It is possible, now listen carefully to this, because this applies especially within our church or any church. It is possible that people with these three understandings will still come up with slightly different views and thus slightly different positions. That's why we need to also learn to show respect from others who may not see it exactly like we do. Okay, we also need to be respectful. Now, I'm not talking about extreme wackos who are trying to overthrow our government and establish Venezuela socialism. I'm talking about fellow believers who might say, well, you know, I think the government should do this. Well, I don't really think the government. Well, okay, but you know what? We can have a friendly discussion. We can disagree. But as long as we agree on the principles, we may not see how it applies exactly the same, but we can still show respect because we're operating from the same starting point. No political argument, I'm talking about believer to believer here, no political argument gives one believer the right to treat another believer with disrespect or lack of love. So here's my final statement. We should have a biblical basis for our position, but also we should... Sorry, I'm saying a whole lot of things and not pushing buttons, aren't I? So I'll slow down. Because I was too caught up in what I was saying. Forgot that you're trying to fill out things. So here's a last statement. We should have a biblical basis for our position and a biblical basis for our, watch this, for our disposition. How we treat each other. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, one guy's a communist and the other guy loves America. I'm talking about we're not always going to see it exactly the same. I mean, I understand I'm right and you're not, but we're not always going to see it the same. Okay, and that's how each person approaches it. But I'm right and they're not. Okay, we're going to have differences of opinions, even when we agree on the same principles, but we do need to show respect and love for each other.